He is in the blessing business, amen. And can do anything but fail. That's what I found out about
him. That's an awesome God.
He is an awesome God. He can't do anything but fail, amen. So we want to thank God. Those of you who have just before we get started, I did want to say that I got a call from Brother Johnson just the other day, and he said he would like to come over and fellowship with us here at St. Timothy. So I told him, you know, our door is always open, and I've been knowing this brother to be a faithful man of God for many, many years. I met him when I started off returning to the church. He was a member of the church where God used to get me back on the right track. And he was serving faithfully then when I met him. And to this day, I have known him to continue in that pattern. He and I have worked together in various areas of ministry. And he is one of the most faithful people I know. I don't know too many people more faithful than Brother Johnson. And his beautiful wife, Mabel, is here. I didn't see where she went to sit back there. But she is here. We thank God for her as well.
Oh, yes.
Amen. How many years y'all been married? Just let me know that.
59.
59 years. Give God some praise. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. He's one of the few people I know that has been very, very diligent in serving Christ. And his life is surrounded with things about God. And he is a blessing. So we welcome him to the house. Amen. And he's not like a stranger around here. Y'all know that. We have him here from time to time to help us out, that pulling the gospel plow, if you will. Amen. So we thank God for him and Sister Mabel also.
Yes.
We're so blessed to see Sister Cookie back in the house, and Sister Nancy feeling a little better. And quite a few folks are here that have been out for a while. We thank the good Lord for all of you being back here with us today.
Yes.
One other just brief announcement I want to mention. The Midwest Bank Center is opening a new branch down the street down at Friendly Temple. And they're having a groundbreaking to which I have been invited. And that'll be on this week. They're going to actually have a branch of the Midwest Bank down there at Friendly. And so we thank God for that. That's an achievement for our brothers and sisters in the gospel over at Friendly Temple. Amen. And we want to continue to thank God. I don't get upset when I see God progressing somewhere else. Amen. It's a good thing to see God give progress to anyone.
Amen.
Because he doesn't have to do it.
That's right.
But he chooses to do it. Amen.
Amen.
So we ought to just thank him every time he does something for any of us. Mm-hmm. Amen. And be welcome. Realize that if he bless one, he can bless another.
Amen.
You know, if it's not your turn this time, maybe it will be next time. Thank God for the ones he did bless.
That's right.
And what he's doing. Amen.
Amen.
So moving on, we're going to go right ahead without any further ado and get into the word. We've been working in a subject, most of you know who have been with us. And if this is your first time being here with us since this study, we've been talking about the things the Bible teaches concerning stewardship and giving. And sometimes it's a sore subject, and I think that's why people have such an awful taste, because there are some charlatans in the world, people who are not genuine, and they give a bad opinion about the church and about giving and all that. So what I wanted to do for you is address it from the Bible. And what we did at the beginning of the study, we asked everybody to empty your mind of any preconceived notions and ideas that you may have had about the subject, and let the Bible tell you what God is saying about it. And so we've got a few installments in today. We're going to get another one, and I think this one is very important. It may be one of the most important in the study. And this is on the topic of understanding tithing and the theocracy of Israel. And I'll tell you what all that means. If any of it sounds strange, you may say, I only recognize one word, that was tithing. And that may be okay, and you might have recognized Israel in there. We'll talk about the rest, and I want you to understand from the Bible what tithing and the theocracy of Israel is about.
All right.
And so we're going to look at that. On last Lord's Day, we talked about two forms of giving, which were free will offering and required giving. We said the Old Testament taught us about Abraham and Jacob, who by their own free will made a vow to offer God a tenth. And there was no law, no written command for them to do it. It was out of the goodness of their heart they chose those figures. That's all we can say based on the text that are there. You can't read any more into it than what it says. And I advise you not to ever do that.
Amen.
If you're in the Word, take what the text says. at face value. God is not trying to trick you. The Bible says he is not the author of confusion. You know, but he is a God of peace, so he wants you to have peace about every topic. So when people tell you something, and let me flip that on his head and say, when people tell you something that's different than what you see in the text, that's when your antenna ought to go up and say, okay, is that really what the Holy Spirit means?
All right.
When you hear people telling you, because it's here, that it means this, that, or the other, you see no support for it in the text. That's what would put up the red flag and let you see that God means what he says. And so we want to stick to the text and let the word speak for itself. Amen. And that way we can know we're on the right path. So I'm going to ask for a reading from the Old Testament today on this topic from the book of Numbers. This is one of the books of Moses. We know it goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Old Testament law, or the book of the law. And we're going to hear from Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 28. And also Matthew in the New Testament, 23, verses 23 to 28. Give your attention to God's inerrant word. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Numbers 18:20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, that they bear singing and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the coin of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the wine press. Thus you also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest.
Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his Old Testament word. And now the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter number 23.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as we mentioned, we will be discussing for just the next few minutes the understanding, tithing, and the theocracy of Israel. May God add a blessing to reading his holy word and hearing. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name. Father, we thank you for your word, we thank you for your spirit, we thank you for your son, who you allow to reconcile us to you, Lord. And if there's anybody in the sanctuary or in the sound of my voice who has not been reconciled to you by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, who is the only Savior of the world, the only mediator between God and men. We pray you bless them with understanding right now today, God, in this very moment, that they might trust him and believe him, that you raised him out of the grave to show that he was victorious over every problem that man has.
Yes.
And that he alone makes men right with God. Those who trust in him can be assured that you will start a relationship which you have called in your word eternal life with them the moment they believe that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead, that he died for all our sins in order to reconcile us to you. Soon as they get that understanding, Father, we pray you seal them with the Holy Spirit and teach them what life is really about. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Understanding tithing and theocracy. You hear a lot of talk in the church about tithing, and some of it I think is on target, some of it is not on target. So that's the reason why, or the impetus for this study, we wanted to go and see what does God say about it and how do we understand it from the biblical perspective. On last Lord's Day, we learned about two forms. We mentioned the free will offering. We saw that in a number of places in the book of Leviticus even. And I would have taken you to the book of Exodus, where God talked about building a tabernacle when the children of Israel were sojourning through the promised land. As they were coming out of Egypt, God instructed them to take an offering from everybody who had a willing heart to build my tabernacle. And the Bible says, it goes on for about 10 or 15 chapters talking about all they brought, and got to a point where Moses had to say, tell them stop, don't bring anymore. They bought so much that it overloaded everywhere. They had nowhere to put it. So that's the way people who really trust and love God feel about the things of God. If you and I are saved and a part of the church, and we pray you are, if you're under the sound of my voice, you know that God has delivered you from some terrible things. And God has always had a people on the earth at some time who trusted him and believed him. And he always will. The Bible says he will never be without a witness in the world. And that's true. And so even down to the last days when the trumpet sounds, God will always have a witness, people who understand that he is the Savior, that he makes a way for us out of no way, that he has provided us with everything. He'll always have a group of people like that. At this time that we're looking at here briefly today, it was the children of Israel. God had called Abraham, as you know, we've looked at that story a number of times, out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was called out of the Gentiles to, God said, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And I'm going to bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless the ones who bless you, curse the ones who curse you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God kept that promise. And he delivered 70 souls from Jacob three generations later, from the seed of Abraham down into the land of Egypt where Joseph had been. We talked about him on last week. And Joseph ended up being a type of Christ. He was there providing the first mention, as we say, of taxation, which was required giving. Joseph had been put there ahead of time because God knew a famine was going to come over the land. And so he allowed his Jacob's favorite son to be taken into exile, even though his brothers thought they were sending him down there because they hated him. We're getting rid of you. But it turns out God's will was being done. And Joseph was there, and the Pharaoh down there had a dream about 7 years of plenty and followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph had told him what the dream meant. Remember that? We talked about that last week. And he said what they drew out of it was, what do we conclude about this? How should we handle it? They wanted to get a perspective from Joseph. So he told them, well, what you want to do is, during the 7 years of plenty, put away 20% or a fifth part.
Yes.
And then it'll carry you through the 7 years of famine. And that was the first time of taxation that had been introduced in the word. And that was required giving. Everybody was required, whether they believed in God or not.
Yes.
Had nothing to do with God or not. It had to do with deliverance from famine. And so he started a system that was required giving, that everybody who produced anything in the 7 years would put away 20% or a fifth part of what they grew. And they stored it up, and that was able to take them through the famine that followed for 7 years. During that time, there was also a famine in the promised land.
Yes, sir.
And so the 70 souls of Jacob ended up, by God's providence, coming down and reuniting with Joseph.
That's right.
We said that Jacob thought that it was like a resurrection from the dead because the brothers had told him that Joseph is dead. They had taken the coat of many colors, stained it with the blood of an animal, and showed it to their father. They had a terrible charade going on that your son has died, because they hated him because Jacob favored him more than them. And so basically, when Jacob saw Joseph still alive as he went down to Egypt, I'm kind of giving you a quick summary, it was like he was risen from the dead.
That's right.
Because he had thought he was dead all those years. And wow, he's not dead. Here he is. This is my son. So it was almost like a resurrection. And it was a picture of the rising of Jesus Christ in his mind.
Amen.
And so Jacob had, as we said, vowed 10% to God for the blessings that God had given. And so Joseph said, guys, you all meant that for bad, but God meant it for good. And so he understood even the affliction and the turmoil that he was going through turned out to the deliverance and of God's people. And so in Egypt, to go on with the story, basically to get us to this point, eventually the Jews multiplied there in Egypt in the land of Goshen until they reached several million, until another king arose and says they did not know Joseph. Nor what he had done down in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And he was scared of them. He said, oh, I'm scared of these folks. Because if our enemies come in, so many of them, and they turn on us, baby, we're toast. That's a modern translation.
Yeah.
And so we need to get rid of them. You know, he said, we're going to start by, first of all, let's put to death all the male children and keep the women, and then they can have our babies. So they understood that. And so they started to try to execute the male children in order to weed out that, like a genocide, you might say, on Israelites. But yet God delivered them after all of that, brought them through the Red Sea on dry land.
Amen.
Quick summary. So when they got in the wilderness, eventually Moses approached God in order to receive what we call the Book of the Law. And he instituted what is known as a theocracy. Now let me help you understand that just with a few words. In America, we live in supposedly a democracy.
Yep.
In other words, our national government is a democratic thing. We get to vote. And we have houses and bodies of people who govern the affairs of the country. It has nothing to do with religion or with anything of that sort. It used to be very much grounded in religious faith when it was originally established. And the state and the church were separated, basically. And that was one of the tenets. But that was not to destroy the church or undermine the church. It was supposed to strengthen the church, to give the church as much power as the government, so that we can do whatever we are want to do and you cannot interfere. That's why it says Congress shall make no law favoring establishment of religion nor preventing the free exercise thereof in the First Amendment. So let's call it the handcuffs, if you will, of that First Amendment are on the government. It says Congress shall make no law. So it's prohibiting Congress from bothering the church.
Amen.
That's the purpose of that First Amendment. It's not so that the government can kick the church around like a football, you know, which is what seems to be happening now because we have a lot of godless individuals running the country now.
Yes, we do.
And even though they call it a democracy, I would say it's more accurately a demonocracy because it's filled with people who want to promote sin and stuff that destroys people that have not learned anything from the past, because we have seen in the past that people who practice evil things end in destruction. That's what happens. But the church, on the other hand, is a separate thing in our country. And I just wanted to say that briefly so I can help you understand tithing under what we would say Israel was a theocracy. The word theos in the Greek is God. In other words, God is in charge. And the 12 tribes were divided up of 12 different factions of people who were the sons of Jacob. And they had one tribe that were called the Levites. The Levites were kind of like the government in America. They were in charge of governmental affairs. In other words, they sorted out land disputes between the other 11 tribes. They were also the priests that mediated between the people and God. People brought the offerings to the temple. The Levites were there at the temple, and they stayed right in the area around the temple. They didn't have parcels of land like the other 11 tribes. And all the people in the 11 tribes brought their tithes, which means 10%, up to the Levites. And they did this. Now, this is the part that's going to throw you on your head right here. They did this. This was required giving. This was not making an offering to God. It was just like when you get your check and 20% is missing already. Your taxes have been paid in order to pay for the operation of the government, the army, the navy, all the stuff that we get for our bang, we get for our buck with our tax dollar.
Yes.
So tithing was like that, and you need to understand that. It was a required thing, and it was not given once. This is the part that's going to really shoot you a curve here. The Israelites paid a tithe to the Levites for their service that was called the Levites' tithe. And they also paid a festival tithe, because three feasts were required every year by all the Israelites. They were called three feasts in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16. Bear with me on this as we go through this. I want you to understand this. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, gives us the feast that was required. This was required feast from the Lord. It says here, Deuteronomy 16, 16, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose in the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. In other words, don't come with nothing. Come with your tithe.
That's right.
And there is a festival that we will call this a festival tithe. That's 10% in addition to the Levites' tithe that was paid every year for the purpose of financing these three feasts that Israel was required to keep. So if we looked at that mathematically, we would say that's 20% so far, just like what we pay, 10% for the Levites, 10% for the festivals, the three festivals that were required every year. So we would say they had to pay that 20% in order for the system of the Levites. The Levites were kind of like the judges. They settled land disputes between people. They filed genealogies like we have in the Bible. They kept records of all the people that were born and died, those type of things, like we have the Department of Vital Statistics. And so the government of Israel was a theocracy because God was in charge.
Yes.
And it was mediated to the people by the tribe of Levi.
Amen.
And the Levites had the priest and all those different offices within it. So looking here at Numbers, the text that I said before you, this is why I just gave you kind of a brief understanding of that. It says here in Numbers 18, verse 20, and the Lord spake to Aaron. Aaron is, of course, the brother of Moses, who is now in charge of they're both sons of Levi, who was their father. And it says here that they have no inheritance. Notice that. In their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. So the Levites had no land, no inheritance. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel, God says. Your thing is be dependent totally on me, because I'm using you to administer my word to the other 11 tribes. You see that? So they have no land. All the 11 tribes are divided up into different lands, parcels, and different inheritance that they have from among their tribes. And of course, the tribes are named a number of places in the word. You have the tribe of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Those are the tribes other than, of course, that's all 12 of the tribes. Now, 11 of them, all except Levi, had land and properties allotted to them to support their families and their tribe. Mm-hmm. And they were thousands in each one of these groups, I want you to understand. And all of these were born of the 70 souls that came out of Jacob. And Joseph was already in the land of Egypt when Jacob and all the sons of Israel went there. And so he says, I have given the children, verse 21, Numbers 18 and 21, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth, that's that same word tithe, in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve. See that? Even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So that's how they were paid, was by the other tribes would donate 10% of whatever they produced to support the Levites, because they had no inheritance, no land, no property, and that's how they were paid for their service. Now, God did this for a number of reasons. Spiritual leaders, he wants them to be dependent on him.
That's right.
And so they will do the very best job for all the rest of the tribes. Amen. So they're totally dependent on the people, and they're totally dependent on God all Amen. The time. So it's kind of a similar thing with the church. God sets up ministers to feed the people with the word, and he wants you to support the church, what it stands for, because we are the body of Christ. We tell the word, the world, what is necessary for them to be saved.
Yes.
Pastors and ministers minister to people when they have needs, spiritual needs. It's a very similar thing. And at this time, it was done by tithing. Now, so far, what we've seen is that there are two tithes that we've already discussed. Number one, the Levites tithe. Number two, the festival tithe that was paid every year. And so that's 20% so far. Now what I want to add here, and this will really blow you completely off your socks, is that there was also every third year another tithe. So every third year they bought a tithe, and it was a welfare tithe, or so to speak. What was it for? It was for the fatherless and the widows and sojourners and strangers that came among you. So it was kind of like our welfare system, but they only paid that every third year. See, and it was from the increase of their land every third year. So that's 23 1/3% a year, and that was required giving. God said, don't come with empty hands in Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose in those three feasts. And he says, and do not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord. That's Deuteronomy 16:17. Thy God which he hath given thee, judges and officers shalt thou make. See that? In all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribe, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, in other words, don't twist judgment, nor show respect of persons, neither take a bribe or a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. God wants these people to be dedicated to their job and make just judgments over the people. And he says, live and inherit the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so basically we see that was the purpose of that theocracy, was that God set that up in order that his people would have dependable, faithful, honest people in charge and to settle their disputes and all that type of thing.
Amen.
And so the tithing in the theocracy of Israel was done 23 1/3%. But you know what? That had nothing to do with making an offering to God. Did you know that? This was required. That's why it says in Malachi, will a man rob God? He says, how are you robbing me? He said, well, how are we robbing you, Lord? He said, then tithes and offering. If you don't pay for the temple, if you bring lame and tainted animals up to offer to God, what kind of a thing is that? Do you hold me in contempt? So God was complaining because Israel became very secular, for lack of a better word. They became very fleshly. Very carnal, and they were trying to, instead of giving God their best, they started giving him their worst. They took the lame cow that was about limping, going up the field, take that and offer it to God. God says, why don't you give that to the governor and see, will he be happy with you?
All right.
You know, and the answer is no, he doesn't. So God always wants your best. Don't come with a blind sacrifice, or this one's blind anyway. Kind of reminds me of that story of the man who runs in the house. Honey, this farmer, he said, the cow just had twins. Oh, really? Yeah, there's two of them. You know what? I'm going to dedicate one of them to the Lord. She said, oh, that's a good idea. So about another week later, he came in. He was looking strange. And the lady said, well, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, the Lord's cow just died. Oh. It's always the Lord's cow that died. That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, oh, Lord. Well, how you know it wasn't ours? Oh, well, he just wanted to be with the Lord. So he died. Well, see, that's what we do. We want to give God the dead cow. So we have to be careful. We ought to put God at the top of our list.
Amen.
Now, you know what? I'm going to say this. This is a personal bit of testimony. Since I got back into the church, I have been fully dedicated. I have not missed service unless there was some series. If I was getting an operation or something very serious, I was out. But I love the atmosphere of the church. I don't know about you.
Yes.
It's the place where I need to be. I come here. I get fed. I hear the truth.
Yes.
I get to share the word of God. I feel better than I ever felt. I used to carry around a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. I used to be paranoid, looking around, wondering was something coming after me. All of that went away once I got saved.
Amen.
So to me, it's a very, very beautiful thing being a part of God's people.
Amen.
And I don't think of it as a small thing. I've been serving in the church for many, many years, and I've never really gotten any salary until I became the pastor of St. Timothy. Did you know that?
Wow.
I've been in the church since back in the 80s. And I was always the musician, I was doing something, but I was never being paid. Why? Because you couldn't pay me. You didn't need to. Because I'm going to serve the Lord. And it was my intention. I enjoy the atmosphere of the church. I like to see the prosperity of the church. I know what the church does for a person who's down and out in their mind, is hung up in stuff in the world and lies of the devil and the sicknesses of sin, being addicted to this, that, or the other. You know, I know about that. And I've seen how it feels to see people hear the truth and see the light go on, bam, and they're released from all of that. I've been in the prison serving, and nobody pays me to go to the jail. I tell the people about this all the time. In shelters, people don't even have any money. I go to places where if you pass the hat around, you may not get your hat back. You see what I'm saying? So there's been no passing the hat. But I go not because of any other reason other than I know the power of God's word.
Yes.
When people understand the love of God, it breaks something open in them and they become a new person. Like the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. That means just what it says. But behold, all things are become new. And so even that, and when you go to a nursing home or anywhere you go and you present God's word and you see the effect that it has on people, you can't pay for that with money. You don't have enough money to pay for the effect of what God's word does to bless people. And then the fact that he could use me, a wretch like me, to deliver it to anybody, I'm overwhelmed. I'm extremely excited about that. And so basically, I've never had to be coerced into giving anything to the church. I've always understood that God uses the church as a vehicle to reach out and touch and save people in the world. And to me, that's very important. And so what I wanted you to see here is understand this whole situation of the tithing and the theocracy of Israel. God did that because Israel was a unique set of people. They were morally more pure than other people who were not listening to God all around them. That's why you read about people like Rahab the harlot, and you read about different people who were not Jews, that weren't under the commonwealth of Israel, as it's called. And notice they use that term even in Ephesians, the commonwealth. That means we have a wealth together, commonwealth, see, of Israel. And the people who were Gentiles were not under the commonwealth of Israel. So God was blessing them on every side. You may notice how you have been blessed since the time you've been walking with God.
Amen.
You know, you may not have all kinds of stuff that some people may be looking for, they assert, but you have general peace in your heart.
Yeah.
You have an understanding that God loves me, that I can talk to him and he can do something about my situation. And I've seen it myself, so I don't really need much of a witness.
All right.
But when I look in the word and see passages like this, he says here, verse 22, just to bring us back to this text, in Numbers 18:22, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh to the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear their sin and die. So the Levites were there to receive their offerings to prevent catastrophe from coming upon them. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. See, that's why they were there, to take the offering for sin, to release people from the guilt of sin. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. So they were strictly dedicated to that work of the temple, serving the other people. Now notice verse 24, Numbers 18:24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. So they don't have any physical thing on earth to hold on to accept those offerings. And so God made them totally dependent on the people they served. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak to the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the inheritance, then shall you offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part. So look at it this way. If you got 11 tribes, and they give the Levites a tenth apiece, how many tenths do the Levites have? 11 tenths, right? Now God says, you take a tenth of that and offer it back to the Lord. So they took a tenth of what they received, then what do they have? Now they have 10 tenths, just like everybody else. So God was totally fair by setting it up so that the Levites received tithes, but they also paid tithes back to God. See? And all of that just operated the theocratic society of Israel. That's how it operated. That's the way they paid for the temple services, for land disputes, different things, weddings, funerals, whatever went on, was taken care of by Israel, and God was in charge of it all. That's why it's called a theocracy, not a democracy.
Yes.
See that? And so the Levites basically operated as the agents of God, and they were paid by the people, the other people of God. Now notice this in verse 26. Thus speak unto the Levites. He told them that you offer the tenth part of the tithe, in the end of verse 26. And he says, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were corn of the threshing floor. In other words, you don't have cornfields, but I'll consider that just as though you did. It's what God is saying. And as the fullness of the winepress, even though you didn't grow grapes, I'll consider it just as you did. Verse 28, thus ye shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes. See that? And ye, which you receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. So they had to have the high priest mediate over all of that. And it basically says, now looking at this New Testament, we see by the time we get into the New Testament, the scribes and the Pharisees, let's say the Jews are divided into denominations. How about that? Have you ever thought about that? God said he wanted them to be one group, my people. And now they've divided into denominations. Does that remind you of anybody? Oh, hello. How about the Baptists, the Presbyterians, and the Church of God? We got all these denominations now. By the time Christ came into the world on the scene, born in the flesh, we had Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Zealots, different groups of Jews. They divided into factions and denominations. And they twisted what God said.
Yes, they did.
Does that remind you of anybody? Jesus rebuked them in Matthew 23. It says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Ye pay tithes of men and anise and cumin, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. See, he said, yeah, you gave your tithes, but what about these things? He said, judgment, mercy, and faith. How about that? These ought ye to have done and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides. You strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Now, the reason they did that, if a gnat went down your throat, a gnat has blood in it. And they were not allowed to eat blood. So he says, you get all ballistic if you suck a gnat down your throat accidentally. That's full of blood. He said, but you'll swallow a camel. That shows how hypocritical you are. A camel's got tons of blood. You'll take that in like it's nothing. And you're discriminate about little stuff. But the big stuff, you let it pass by like it's no problem. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That means you're putting on a show. You may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. Can you imagine taking a cup and the outside is washed, but you look in it and it's all full of all kinds of crap? You know, you go, wow, wait a minute here now. You know, I don't want to put no coffee in this thing here. You know, to wash the whole thing, wash the inside and the out. Yes. He says, you're messed up on the inside, but you got on that pristine outside appearance. Mm-hmm. You're walking around with your flowing robes and all that, but your heart is dirty.
Yes.
Your heart is not right. You're cheating people. You're doing all that kind of stuff. So he said, woe to you, he rebuked them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye you are like unto a whited sepulchre. In other words, they take a tomb and paint it white so it's all nice and pretty. But you open it up and it's full of dead men's bones on the inside and all uncleanness. Even so, ye outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He never wanted that for his people at all. And by the time he came, you know what? You can tell how rotten they were. God showed up and what'd they do? Crucify him. Wow. Their minds were so wrecked, they crucified the Lord. Didn't realize he was God in their midst. So last Lord's Day, we're almost done. We first mentioned required giving, and we mentioned that from the time of Joseph and his brethren during Joseph's exile in the land of Egypt, which brought about the institution of taxation, 20% for all people, and how it became a fantastic means of salvation for the patriarchs during the famine that struck in all the Middle East, which turned out to be a means of salvation for Jacob and his family, to whom the very promises of God had been made. That's what we covered last week. So in like manner, the system utilized by God for the government of Israel was what is taught in Scripture as the tithe. And we also, it was also to be considered as required giving. Tithing was not giving God anything. It was required by God. And it was the means prescribed for the support of their political system, which was known as tithing, which is the required payment of a tenth of the increase from all the other 11 tribes. Okay, that's just to support the Levites. Then we mentioned the other tithes, the festival tithe, which is paid every year to support the three required fees. And then every third year, they paid a welfare tithe. So that's 23 1/3%. That's kind of about like what we pay to the government. And that doesn't mean we've given God anything once we take care of what we're supposed to take. Remember last week, Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? He said, who is that? Show me that coin. Who is that on there? Oh, that's Caesar. He said, well, okay, then we'll render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Two different things. So taxation, should we pay it? Yes. Absolutely. We are to be upstanding citizens, pay our taxes, do things right. But we're also not to neglect God's church. And so would I say the church needs to tithe? I think tithing is a good place to start. I always teach tithing basically as a show of faith on our part. I teach it just like when you teach people to read, you got to teach them ABCs. A, B, C. Once you get the ABCs, you can learn some words. C-A-T is cat. D-O-G is dog. And we can start to learn to speak. Once you learn to read, you can learn anything. So I always teach people tithing is basically a good place to start in the church. Trust God with a tithe and see what he will do. He said, it's one of the few things God makes a promise of a return in Malachi. He says, prove me now in this.
Yes.
And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive it. God said that.
Right.
See, so if you start believing God for what he said, then God says, I will bless you, and you can't beat him blessing.
No way.
You see what I'm saying? So primarily, even in the time of Jesus, this practice was ordained by God and was still in effect, although it was often done with twisted motivation. And thus was not done in the spirit which God could be glorified. God could not be glorified the way the Pharisees and Sadducees did it. They were taking the tithes. You know what else they do? Brother Tate, you bought in all that thing. That one here you got. Oh, no, that's not acceptable. You need to buy one of these over here. These are pure and holy from God. That one you got, that's unacceptable. Even though it was your best. So they had selling offerings and sacrifices to people. And they were doing twisted stuff, exchanging the monies and... Oh, see, you come from over there. Well, let's see. You have to pay according to the shekel, and here you come with some other form of currency, and they were cheating people in the temple.
Yes, they were.
Stuff of that sort. That's why Jesus cleansed the temple and ran them all out. Called them. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.
That's right.
You're in here using it for merchandise. Mm-hmm. And so it had fallen quite a bit by the time Christ had come. And this was not done in the spirit by which God could be glorified as it would if it was done correctly. And therefore was a cause of rebuke from the Lord rather than being the system that God desired for the support of his temple. And so that's why you see Jesus cleansing the temple.
Yeah.
So we take you another notch now into understanding. Hopefully today you understand a little better how tithing was and what it was for. But it still doesn't, and I'm going to be done in just a minute, it doesn't set aside the fact that you and I are the representatives of God at this time. Do you realize that when the Jews rejected Jesus, that God said that I'm sending the gospel now to everybody so that whosoever believes in the name of my son will not perish. Some Jews got saved at that time. There was a very small nucleus. All the apostles were of the family of the Jews. Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of them, they were Jewish. We have Dr. Luke was the first Gentile and the only Gentile to write scripture.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
God used him to write the book of Luke and the book of Acts.
Yep.
The Acts of the Apostles to show that he is now sending the gospel to the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. When Jesus got out of the grave, he defeated death, hell, and the grave.
Yes,
he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he said to his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, and lo, I will be with you all the days, is literally what it says. Even to the end of the world. In other words, even down to the last day, I'll be with you. And so what should we do as the church? And we have the great responsibility of bearing this truth of the gospel to the whole world. That has to be financed, doesn't it? Don't you know the Bible says the more you invest in God's kingdom is much better than investing with... Merle Lynch, let's name somebody. I'm just going to pull somebody out. Merle Lynch is going to go up in smoke.
That's right.
But the temple of God and the people of God are going to dwell forever and ever.
Yes.
Every investment we make in eternity is going to be a much better thing. That's why Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You can stack up a bunch of stuff, you're going to leave every bit of it. But if you make investments into God's kingdom, that'll be going before you into heaven already. And the Lord knows what we have done, what sacrifices we have made.
Amen.
And with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so that's the way we need to think. So I always tell people, I like you to understand tithing and what it was for and the reason why it worked the way it did. But, and it's not to say that this is something we should emulate or duplicate, but I think we can do better. If they did that in those days, for God with the limited amount of knowledge that they have, what should we be doing? What should we be doing? How should we do stuff? You know? And God, you can never beat him giving. He's given me more stuff than I can imagine. And I'm thankful for it all. And so I want to bless him back. And you keep watching, you're going to see if I'm still around, I'll be finding new ways to bless the church. And expand the church, because there's nothing else more important. Being saved and knowing that you're not going to hell. And not so much not going to hell, but I'm being blessed right now.
Yes. Amen.
I got peace of mind right now.
Amen.
I know I got God to call on. If I get sick, I can call on the Lord. Amen. You know, if I get troubled in my mind, I can call on the Lord. He has never let me go without anything I needed. I can give that testimony right now. You know, and he's given me way more than I could ever give him. So I'm looking for new ways to invest and give him even more. Because the more I put in his account with him and the things he stands for, the more blessed I'm going to be on the other side. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the grace that God has given me to preach his word. And so I'm looking for new ways myself. I'm always looking for a way to increase my offering. I would like to get where I can live on 10% myself and give God 90 and be all right. That's the way you ought to be thinking. Don't be limiting yourself to what can happen. If I suppose I can give God 90% and I can live on 10 and I'm doing all right, that would be okay with me. I have no problem with that. You know, somebody like Trump or somebody who got all this money, you know what, when you go in the box, every penny is going to be left for somebody else to deal with it. And so basically, I would rather get spending right now on something I know that's definitely a sure investment.
Yes.
It's a sure investment getting people saved and getting them to understand the truth.
Amen.
And God loves all of them, and he's given us all that duty. Yes. It's not really a duty. I would say it's a privilege.
Amen.
It's a privilege that God would use me to share the word with other people. And I've seen many of them be saved. I don't say I did it, because I don't worry about that. I just think, I'm like what the words is, one plants and another waters, but God gives the increase. And I'm watching him give the increase. Sometimes you know when you're planting. Sometimes you know when you're watering. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you think what you say falls on deaf ears and nobody hears it. You know, but that's not our responsibility.
That's right. Amen.
My responsibility is to tell you the truth. So I'm going to put the word out there as many different ways as I can. And God will take care of the balance.
Yes, he will,
see? And that means he can take care of the balance in my checkbook, too. So I'm not worried about it. I'm going to continue to give and invest in the kingdom. Yes. And that's what I admonish you to do.
Yes.
You want to be blessed? Try God and see what he'll do.
Yes.
You know, you tried some of these other things and you see what that did. But I'm just going to say to you, try God. If you don't know him, I want to ask you now, become acquainted with Christ. He loves you just like you are. He will forgive you for anything you have ever done. That's his good pleasure, and that's our purpose, is to let you know he loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants you to be saved, and if you're here today and you don't know you're saved, you ought to.
Amen.
It won't be God's fault. It won't even be my fault after you walk out this door today not saved, because I've told you what God requires of you.
Nah.
He says if you trust and believe in Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a promise. You can hang your hat on that, baby. Let me tell you right now.
Amen. Nah.
It's more solid than the ground we're standing on. God said the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. See, there's coming a day when the heavens and earth are going to be rolled up like a scroll and go out of existence. And John said, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband. It's going to be a beautiful thing to see that. Nah. It'd be good to see it from the right vantage point. I wouldn't want to see it from the lake of fire.
I know that's right.
But I would like to see it from the point of being blessed and knowing that I'm blessed and all is right with me in the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, trust Christ. Or if you're not here and you're hearing my voice, that's why we put it online. We put it out wherever we can so that many people can hear it as possible. That's an investment in eternity. When you let people know the good news. When you go and talk with people who don't know Christ. Amen. And tell them what God requires. It's not your responsibility to make them believe you can't do it. Mm-hmm. But it is your responsibility to tell them. Tell them the good news.
Amen.
I get to share in that. I'm blessed by that. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but I love it.
Amen.
I'll continue this as long as I can take another breath. Amen. So we're going to ask you to come at this time. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for what you taught us today, Father. There are things about Israel that we sometimes don't understand, but we still see Israel in the news right now today. And you promised that you would protect the nation, even though they don't trust you and believe in you, just for the sake of the promises that you made to Abraham. But you said you will deliver them in the latter days, Father. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right now it's being trampled over by the Gentiles, just as you said, that Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Mm-hmm. And at that time you will restore Israel and give them faith to trust in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. So, Father, we pray for them right now, Lord, that their hearts will be open to receive the gospel. We pray that others will hear this message right now, God, somewhere, by whatever means we can afford to put it out into the world, that they might be saved. And Father, we bless you and we thank you for the salvation we enjoy right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We ask a blessing on every person's personal finances in the building, God. Bless everyone, Father. Let them see a supernatural move of your hand in their lives, God. We just thank you. We're not ashamed to ask because you own everything, Lord. And we'll bless you back, oh God. If you bless us, we will certainly bless you back. We make that vow in the name of Jesus. Bless every home, every family that's represented here. We give you all the praise and the glory. We ask it in the righteous name of Jesus Christ, your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Lord, you know, some things you give us, I just have to say this, are more important and worth more than you can even put a price on.
Amen.
Healing in our mind, healing in our body. How much is that worth? We just thank you for healing us today, God. Thank you, God, for peace of mind, Lord. That we don't have to worry about a thing. We just bless you. Thank you for stuff that money cannot buy, God. That you give to your children freely. Bless every home, God, every family. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Give God a hand praise. Amen. And one last thing we like to do just before we conclude is if there's anyone would like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we want to ask you to come right down to the front here. We offer membership to those who would like to unite with us as we continue this work of the gospel. Amen. We give you that opportunity right now just before we dismiss. Amen. We offer Christ to you. Amen. Amen. Just one more verse here before we leave. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God one more hand of praise. Amen. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. Amen. We give the Lord praise and we will.